Let's call this meeting to order, please. Everyone rock the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Colosimo.
Present.
Koch.
Here.
Milshewski.
Here.
Clocher.
Here.
Bunkhauser.
Here.
Frieders.
Here.
Tarulis.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, I did want to amend the agenda a little bit. I do want to move Suicide Prevention Awareness Proclamation up to the top, above presentations. And then I was thinking get the regular business out of the way and then do the old jail presentation right before Public Works Committee. Do we have any other amendments to the agenda? All those in favor of amending the agenda as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we'll go right into the appointment and swearing in of a new Ward 4 alderman. And Mr. Peterson, this is your last chance to back out. So I will entertain a motion to approve the mayor's appointment of Jason Peterson as alderman of Ward 4 to serve a partial term expiring April 30th, 2019.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? We did have 10 applicants, all very good applicants. I was excited to see how much interest there was in the position. I was impressed with Mr. Peterson's application. I know that he was serious about it when I read that he served in probably one of the more thankless jobs than alderman, HOA president. So, and that's without compensation. So, with that, roll call, please.
Milshewski.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Clocher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Jason, if you'd like to step forward, I will swear you in. You can take a seat at the table. Please raise your right hand. Aye. State your name.
Jason Peterson.
Having been appointed to the office of alderman, Ward 4.
You want me to repeat all this?
Yes.
Okay. Having been elected to the office of the alderman, Ward 4.
In the United City of Yorkville.
In the United City of Yorkville.
In the county of Kendall, aforesaid.
In the county of Kendall, aforesaid.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the office of Alderman Ward 4.
Of the office of Alderman Ward 4.
Of the United City of Yorkville.
Of the United City of Yorkville.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
It says elected. I don't know if I should say elected or appointed.
Okay.
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
We need to do a photo of the
family. Oh, absolutely. My bed.
Yes, you got to my bed.
Get the whole family up there.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, get up there. You're all dressed pretty and everything.
Awareness Month. I would like to reread the proclamation that we read back in April of this year. And it is a proclamation from September, but it's nice to go over it again. So whereas September is known around the United States as National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month and is intended to help promote awareness surrounding each of the suicide prevention resources available to us in our community. The simple goal is to learn how to help those around us and how to talk about suicide without increasing the risk of harm. And whereas suicidal thoughts can affect anyone, regardless of age, gender, race, orientation, income level, religion, or background. And whereas, according to the CDC, each year more than 41,000 people die by suicide. And whereas suicide is the 10th leading cause of death among adults in the U.S. and the second leading cause of death among people aged 10 through 24. And whereas Yorkville, Illinois is no different than any other community in the country, but chooses to publicly state and place our full support behind local educators, mental health professionals, athletic coaches, PAC leaders, police officers, and parents as partners in supporting our community and simply being available to one another. And whereas local organizations like Suicide Prevention Services and national organizations like the National Alliance on Mental Illness are on the front lines of a battle that many still refuse to discuss in public, as suicide and mental illness remain too taboo a topic to speak on. Whereas every member of our community should understand that throughout life struggles, we all need the occasional reminder that we are all silently fighting our own battles. And whereas I encourage all residents to take the time to inquire as to the well-being of their family, friends, and neighbors over the next few days, and to genuinely convey their appreciation for their existence by any gesture they deem appropriate. A simple phone call, message, handshake, or hug can go a long way towards helping someone realize that suicide is not the answer. So now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Gary J. Galinsky, do hereby proclaim the month of September 2018 as National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month in the United City of Yorkville. And with that, Joel, Alderman Frieders is going to give us an update on his fantastic efforts of reaching out nationwide to bring awareness.
Yeah, so we started April 24th, just a quick tally. 3,225 emails were sent from my computer at home. 233 cities, 20 different counties, and 40 different states have signed on to adopt Yorkville's proclamation. That means that 16,454,709 residents in 233 cities and 11,683,203 residents in 20 counties have been exposed to their governing bodies publicly discussing suicide from an official capacity. The total figure of potential impact of the NSPAM project in 2018, of course with some probable overlap, is 28,137,912 United States citizens have actually had their elected officials talk about suicide. Throughout the entire process, it's strange. You start feeling like a spammer. I mean, I'm sending emails, you know, individually to each individual city, and you start getting responses back that are crushing. We talk a lot about, you know, the folks that are between 10 and 24, that being the second leading cause of their death. But you don't always learn about the LGBTQIA community. That's one in three members of that community have attempted. So there's a bunch of conversations that are very, very difficult to have. It's still hard for me to talk about. But we have actual government representatives that are responding to a personal email and sharing information that is literally gut-wrenching. So for the past, you know, 5.5, 6 months, I've been privy to a lot of conversations that I never thought I deserved. So I wanted to publicly and personally thank each of you for giving me the opportunity to do something so damn miserable. But I wouldn't take it back. But again, punch in the stomach every day. If you don't remember, last year when I was talking about it, I couldn't get through a sentence. So I'm a little bit better. But it's difficult to kind of put something into a couple sentences then when you've been doing it every day. When the kids get up, I make their breakfast, I make my wife breakfast, and then I sit down at the computer and I send anywhere between 30 and 50 emails. Then at night, when the kids are fighting me about brushing their teeth and getting in the shower, I do it again. On weekends, I have my cup of coffee, I throw on a record, and I spend about a half hour, 45 minutes before we get out the door for soccer. So I'm just as busy as anybody else, but talking about suicide, as difficult as it is for me personally, is something that I'm going to continue doing. I'll probably bug you guys earlier next year to get started. I've met some incredible people. I've got some allies across the country that understand all I'm trying to do is something really, really simple, which is talk about suicide from an official capacity publicly. A lot of the people who did not respond, I'm sure if I respond or if I reply to the email that I sent them next year, maybe I'll get a nudge out of them. I'm not sure. But compared to last year, we had 26 cities, 3 counties in 3 different states. To see it multiplied by 10. I'm pretty proud of that. So please remember, talk about suicide. If you need something, my phone number's all over the website, and people put it on Facebook, so go ahead, write that and give me a call. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Joel. Your efforts make the world a better place. There's no doubt about it. Okay, do we have any citizen comments on items that are on the agenda other than the old jail? We'll save all the citizen comments on the jail until right after the presentation. So any other citizen comments on anything else that's on the agenda? Okay, if not, we're just going to knock through a couple things, then we'll get on to the old jail. So I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular city council meeting of September 25th, 2018, as presented.
Second.
Comments, questions, or corrections on minutes? All those in favor of approving minutes as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next, I'll entertain a motion to approve a contract with Comcast for a term of 37 months at a cost of $1,000 per month and authorize the Chief of Police to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions on the Comcast contract? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, I think that's all our other business. So we'll go to old jail presentation. We'll let you guys have your time and then open it up. It's kind of a discussion, I think. Anyone from the public wants to comment? Whatever. We'll wing it. So you guys present your material first and then we'll open it up.
Farnsworth House,
play on the Sears House.
Yes. So we have several local historic places that would feed to the genre of what we're looking for and help with our downtown redevelopment and the flavor and the history of our town. Okay, save the past, build our future through rehabilitation and reuse. The first thing I think of when I'm talking about this is when I was traveling in Europe. The same buildings have been there for hundreds of years. They don't tear them down, they save them, they repurpose them, and reuse them. They're quite beautiful and mastery, and what do we leave in America for our future? Nothing. If something is 40 or 50 years old, it's obsolete, and we throw it away. So we did have a building determined by the state of Illinois that it should be listed in the National Register of Historic Places in July. It was July the 10th. For rehabilitation or reuse, it would also add to the economy of the downtown with the historic character of the downtown feel that's already there for arts and entertainment. Not unlike something like Geneva, Little Traveler, their little shops that they have inside. You can see something like this happening with arts and entertainment. With consultation with Lynn Dubacek with your economic development, she said the uses for art galleries, performance spaces, and incubator office space for startup businesses would be a great tribute to the downtown area. So some facts about the old Kendall County Jail and Sheriff's Residence. It was built in 1893 as an Italianate structure. It has all the hardware in the building, is still original, still there. The utilities are in working condition. The cell doors still work with a hand crank. I do have video of it. If you're interested, we do have our Facebook page, which is Go Directly to Jail. I can put the videos up of the jail cells actually working. It's really amazing to see. According to the jail, Poly Jail Company, there are only two remaining of this model left, where the sheriff actually lived with his family in the jail, in front of the jail. The sheriff's wife was called the jail matron, and she actually raised her children 10 feet from the prisoners. She would make 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. She would wash their clothes, care for them, even holidays. She would take phone calls, calls when the sheriff was out for the fire department and for the police department. I heard some amazing stories from some of the sheriff's families. That Mrs. Browns told me that her first night there, that one of the inmates greasing himself up with butter left over from his dinner and slipped through the bars the first night there. She also told me on the first night there, she heard this awful loud alarm, and she went down to have, it's still in the basement, by the way, the switchboard, and she would answer the call and found out that there was a house burning, and it was her own. So, welcome to Yorkville. According to Poly Jail, there's only two left. They are still in business. They are in Joliet, Illinois. They are interested in linking our website to their historic website. I also checked with the company called Ann Folger. They are still in business. They are in Lamont, Illinois. They made all the keys and the locks for the jail. I took photographs. They were able to identify all of them and are able to replace all of the keys for the building. We have had several donated to us from the former sheriff's families. The building was made of Joliet limestone. It was hand-carved. The foundation was a hand-carved. It was not pressed. It was not formed. It was hand-carved. It's quite beautiful to look at. The brick was made of local clay from Fox Valley and made by the Chicago Brick Company. The Chicago Brick Company is also still in business, but they no longer make the Chicago brick. Okay, and in building condition, the first order of business for us was to find out through the rumors that we had heard, how is the building? What is the building? What is its condition? Is it salvageable? So we were lucky enough that Bart Olson reached out to Landmarks Illinois, and they sent Berglund in to look at the building, and to quote you exactly, sir, you said it has healthy bones, that it needs immediate repair, but the structure is sound. So it needs repair to the roof, and tuck pointing and some other things that became identified going further, but it is sound. It was backed up by Nathan McKnight, who is a project manager estimator. He works in actually in demolition work, and his conclusion is the structure is sound as well. And last but not least, we have Lane Allen. He's managing partner with Allen and Pepa Architects in Geneva. They're best known for their work on the Egyptian Theater in DeKalb, and they're also right now working on my favorite building, well, other than the jail, of course. But they're working on doing the facade for the Wheaton Grand Theater in Hale Street in Wheaton. Okay, so let's go to the immediate needs. The building needs a roof. I know that you all saw the packet, you saw the condition of the roof. We do have AAA here to answer any questions when we are finished in the question and answer period about the roof system. We also need gutter and drain spouts immediately to keep the rain off of the brickwork. We had masonry people come out here. They're here also from Chicago Tuck Pointing. And it is the conclusion that the tuck pointing can wait till spring. A freeze thaw, if it would change the color, the red color that we want to put in the dye and the mortar. So if with the roof system and the gutter system in place, it would hold the building safely until next year. Okay, so our proposed initial cost to be paid for by the Yorkville Historic Preservation Society is we have a roofing bid. We had three bids come in. Our lowest bid was AAA roofing, and they came in at $16,994 for the roof. And we have gutter and downspout repairs, which they were so generous to give us at quite a cost break of $1,400, and we really thank them for the help. So that brings our total emergency need for 2018 to $18,394. Yorkville Historic Preservation Society's next steps, replace the roof and install the gutters in 2018. So with your approval, we would begin as quickly as these gentlemen can get to work on the building to prevent any further damage from water or snow or anything coming up in the upcoming months. Tuck pointing and masonry work would begin in 2019, with the interior rehabilitation beginning in summer of 2019. We are looking to reopen portions of the building, which we do have the photos here, create a revenue scheme for the jail so it can support itself, generate tax income into the city, and also any businesses that went in there would get federal tax breaks for being in a historic building. It would also help with the development of the downtown, also bring more business in. Okay. Yorkville Historic Preservation Society fundraising efforts. Our largest fundraising effort was our live Monopoly game, which you can see the mayor was the jail. Thank you so much for that. That was awesome. But we raised $4,200 that day. We have a foundation grant requested to provide roof and tuck pointing repairs. In early November, the decision will be made. The minimal amount that will be dispersed is $5,000. Pledges stand right now at $4,500, which I believe we just got a couple more today, so it's a little bit more than that, dependent on the city council decision. So you do have some of those people listed, but we did, for their own protection, keep their last names out of it. The Yorkville Preservation Society has joined the Community Foundation of Fox Valley. We are now a charitable organization, and we are under their umbrella, their 501c3. Any donations made to us can be a tax write-off at this point in time. Landmarks Illinois' next heritage grant deadline is November the 15th. Looking for disbursement in December, if I'm correct. The Daughters of the Revolution are also offering a grant for us, and the application is now being prepared. And Johanna is here, part of our board, and also part of the Daughters of the Revolution, can address that grant disbursement. Okay, City of Yorkville Historic Preservation Society is requesting in exchange for us coming and helping the community that we would have you remove the debris from the jail and the garage. I know that some of it is sensitive in nature, and we don't want to impede on that at all. So we would ask you to remove that. Any debris that is left from former tenants, anything that does not belong to the jail proper, we would ask you to remove. We're asking for a lease on the building. We would love to have 3 years, but we would be happy if you gave us 1 year to prove ourselves. We would be ecstatic with that as well. We wanted. We have an expenditure of budget of $35,000, and that you have identified for lead asbestos removal required for the. Either way, if you demo the building or if you rehab the building, this is a cost that's going to be incurred to the city. But the good news is, what you've identified in the demolition, you're still saving $43,000 and having a building that's going to be worth a lot more money. We were asking the city to maintain the insurance. I asked Mark today. The insurance is $300 a year on the building. And the utilities, if possible, on the building while we are leasing the building. There will be no one occupying the building during that period of time. Example for a reuse project is the Masonbacher home in Springfield, Illinois, and this comes to us courtesy of Landmarks Illinois, of course. You can see the before, the building was in pretty bad shape, and the after is a quite beautiful addition to the neighborhood. Inside of the building, you can see that they have a cafe for use and private entertainment space. And we will be reopening portions of the building upon your approval, of course. On completion of work as identified by the architects, and we're identifying 2020, hopefully sooner than that, but we're going for 2020 right now. And our artist, Jonathan Rankel, is part of our board, did a rendition, but you can also see them online of what we're envisioning doing. The first portion of the building that we would be reopening is the garage area right in here. The reason we chose that is it has its own separate HVAC system, its own separate electrical system, and own separate water. So that would be, and because it is built in the 1950s and 60s, it'll be a lot easier for us to update. We will then, once the revenue stream begins, we'll be separating the two buildings, removing the connected building. And that will allow us, with the revenue stream and the attention to the building, for us to complete the original structure, which is our main goal, is to get us up and running and get the original structure completed. We're looking at raising about $300,000 in the next 3 years, which would go far towards the completion of the building. We're looking to use the building for an art gallery. Actually, the gentleman is here tonight with a letter of intent to have his art gallery inside, and actually you can see his artwork inside of the garage area. We also have a letter of interest from Maggie Does My Hair to have a salon inside of the jail once it's open. And we also have another letter of interest from Harmony Aesthetics to be inside the building once it's done. But we're looking for incubator office space, startup businesses, and community space. That is something that's at a premium. I think most of us end up near our bread and it's loud and you can't really have a meeting. So we thought this would be a great gathering spot for office groups, for church groups, for office meetings. When it gets open for that, it would add to the business of the downtown because they need to go somewhere afterward. So I just wanted to share with you some of the local businesses that have supported our reuse of the building. I believe there's 31 in all. 31? Businesses that have come out in support and have actually donated to our cause. We have petition results as of October the 8th. We have 662 signatures. They are in Yorkville proper or used to be in Yorkville and still have deep ties and roots to Yorkville. We have a petition online with smallchange.org. The people's names and numbers will be listed on there, and also a handwritten petition that we circulated. And now comes to the question and answer period. I do have several experts here to answer any questions that you would have. Yes. I'm sorry. Before we go to question and answer, actually, I would like to have Johanna Byron come up and explain the Daughters of the Revolution grant for us.
I also want to talk about Illinois Youth Budget, but
She said it was the daughters of the Revolution. It's actually the daughters of the American Revolution, the DAR. I wanted to clarify that here. The DAR has a special projects grant, which is given out by our President General in Washington, D.C. And going on the site, there is about $350,000 given up for preservation projects. The DAR, we're interested in education, preservation, and patriotism. So we give out grants for projects in all of these fields. They need to be supported by each chapter. My chapter, Amos Kendall chapter, we will be meeting Saturday, and we will have a vote and approve the application, which is in the works right now, but it will definitely be going because the application date is due December 31st. The announcement of who gets the money comes in the late June when we have the convention in Washington, D.C. But looking through what projects were approved last time, our project is right in line with it. The grant is anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000. We'd be asking for the full $10,000. But again, it's perfectly in line with people asking for ropes, people asking for tuck windows, things like this. They're all asking the $10,000 being given it. I think the fact that we are only two of these jails left in the United States when there were hundreds made. It was the norm in America to have county jails where the sheriff's residence, sheriff's family lived there. There are two left. Interestingly enough, from the old records back in 1892, when we realized we had to have a jail, because the jail that used to exist in the courthouse, people were sick and getting close to death because it was so, the air was so bad in there, the family kept getting sick, and there was a commission that looked into, it was part of the government, but it was a commission of, that looked into orphanages and jails. And they said that it was absolutely unhuman to pick some people who live underground the way Yorkville did. So when they built the jail, they went first to Geneva, and Geneva had a $13,000 jail, which was so fancy, and Kendall County said we can't afford that. So they went to DuPage County, and then they saw the jail that they thought would be perfect. And I thought, well, let's see a picture of this. I know it doesn't exist anymore, but do we have a picture? And I went to Historic Society. The picture that I got was they had their old courthouse, the one that had burnt down that doesn't exist anymore, and in the corner you could see there was a building behind a tree. That is the only living picture they have of that building. So that building that so impressed us, it was like once something, you know, the way America was before, you know, Jackie Kennedy first brought historic preservation to everybody by fixing up the White House. We didn't. Nobody cared. We just rolled everything over, and we steamrolled the past and kept moving on to the future, which was great when our country first began. But you know, we realize now we got to save things because it's important to us. And so, I also wanted to talk to you about Illinois 200. I hear Yorkville's not doing anything for the 200th anniversary of the state of Illinois, which is kind of interesting because Yorkville has always been very gung-ho in the past. In the 175th anniversary in 1993, Yorkville joined with all of the other towns in Kendall County and reestablished the county fair and dedicated it to the 175th anniversary. And the Methodist ladies made pie. In the 150th anniversary in 1968, they got special permission because they had already started not doing the parade down 47 as a tie-up to a check. They got special permission from the state to go back to 47 for the parade. They had a big parade. They had a potluck dinner in the park, and the city served ice cream and an ice cream social, and the Methodist ladies made pie. And at the 125th anniversary, that was in 1943, in the middle of the war was going on, there was gas rationing, and they still managed to have a parade. There was sugar rationing, and the Methodist ladies still managed to. At the 100th anniversary, closer kind of now to where, the county fairgrounds was actually a lot closer to town back then. And they had bicycle races, a picnic, and they had horse races out there to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Illinois, and again, the Methodist ladies meet pies. So Yorkville has always done something, so I wondered why you didn't. A lot of local places are involved in Illinois 200. We have, let's see, well, Northern Illinois University is making a presentation at each and every home football game. Wheaton and St. Charles and a lot of towns are having a party called Party Like It's 1818, where they will actually have people, they have costumes for people to dress up and eat the food that they would have, and they teach everybody reels and dances like they would. A lot of towns are doing that. Winfield is having a birthday bash on November 13th. They're making pies. I wonder if the Methodist women heard that. Mary Todd Lincoln's 200th birthday is on December 13th, and several cities are celebrating that, as well as Batavia, of course, where she was where she was incarcerated, the institution there. Barrington, Sycamore Public Library, the Egyptian Theater in DuPage County Museum, all of these groups have sponsored with the state of Illinois. And what I thought would be really great of Yorkville is if we save this building. We can become an application as an endorsed project for Illinois 200. And the state will promote our building. And now there is no money that this application will tell you three times that there is no money. Don't expect any from them, because the money all went to saving the bigger projects. There's some pretty cool projects, along with having the governor's residence. Sangamon County has for 2 years been collecting pennies, and they're only $5,000 away from being able to purchase a draft of the Gettysburg Address and bring it back to Illinois. And so that's one of the bigger projects that is being funded by the state. I have only 10 copies here, but if you'd like to look at, this is what the actual application for the project endorsement is. And it's a very simple application, and they're actually allowing people up to December 3rd to get recognized as an Illinois project. So I think Yorkville, I haven't talked to the Methodist ladies, and I don't know if they want to bake pies, but we've got to do something for Illinois 200, because Yorkville has always been very involved in celebrating Illinois. Thank you. Good job.
I know we are. Lisa, do you have someone else you wanted to present, or do you want to open it up?
Actually, we don't, but we do have our roofing company here if you have any questions. We also have our own construction here if you have any questions about the condition of the building. We also have the Chicago Tech Point available if you have any questions on that as well.
Okay. Does anyone from the city council have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question, but I just want to clarify something. And I'm not believing what you said, but I love what you're doing. But I just did a quick Google search, and there are more than two of these type of jails not identical to ours in the United States. There's three alone in Indiana. So I just want to put that on record there. Now, I don't want them to take away from ours, but this was a very common thing. The three I found, however, have been restored and are being used by their communities for various things. There's one in Crawfordsville, Indiana, there's one in Danville, Indiana, and there's one in Salem, Indiana, and all of them are on the car store and the National Register. So it can be done. And they are listed as county jails and sheriff residences. So that's just where they're found. And if you look at them, they've been restored and they are functioning parts of their community. So I just mentioned the main
Anyone from the audience who has any questions or input or want to add anything to the conversation? Yes, ma'am, please step up, state your name, please, and share your thoughts.
Hello, my name is Trish Kennedy, and I'm a resident here in Yorkville. I've been here since 1999, and I just wanted to say that I actually think it's a really good idea for the community, and that there people do need outlets, especially kids. You're talking about suicide, and people need outlets, and they need things to do and places to go. And I think having a creative place for art, music, meetings. I mean, the potential is great. I personally love history, and I think that it can be done. And what my mom used to always say is, where there's a will, there's a way. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We just want to talk about this now, or before we go into our motion?
We can talk about it now and then go into the motion. Yeah, if you have questions about their lease application or any of that process, I guess now's the time to do it.
You know, we got a lot more information this afternoon, so I know trying to get through some of this before the meeting, when I got in, I had about an hour beforehand to get through the last bit. We got everything else for today. So trying to familiarize myself with the additional information that was in the original packet. It's good that we now have a little more information, such as the business plan, some more of the financials, because that was a couple of the things that I initially reacted to. The plan proposal was very lacking, because it didn't have those two items, an actual business plan and the financials. Now that we can see some of that, I still think there's a little ways to go in terms of what the group can do, what should be done. I'm glad that this is still moving forward. In terms of your financial plan moving forward, you're expecting $300,000 in 3 years. And I know that the city council has not fully endorsed it, so this is not maybe 3 months to get to endorse the project, so having to come back and it's difficult. You had $6,000 approximately in the account to date, and there's a lot of speculation on the grant monies, which is what you're heavily relying on, is what it appears. Do you think that there is truly going to be monies that are actually going to come in if the council endorses this? I know there's some small pledges that are noted in the financials. Do you think that's...
Those are definite. We're absolutely sure that when there's $4,500 in pledges, we definitely know that we have that, and we do know that we will have the entire 18,000 and change that we will need to put the roof and gutters on. We're absolutely confident of it, and it would happen as soon as you give us approval.
With the team that is on this, just a question about the gutters that you put in. I took a look at those, and I know one thing about historic preservation is you have to be able to look at it as if you were standing there the day it was. We're referencing for the historic preservation. The notes in the gutters say that they're going to put new seamless gutters onto the building. Is what it appears from length. Are they going to use the existing troughs that are there?
Yes.
So, and it's actually,
yes. They are salvageable, yes.
So $1,400 are going to be able to do that? Are they?
Actually, could you answer that?
Sure. The trough system isn't completely damaged to failure. We can seal up what we need to. We're looking at a budget here, so we need to put these gutters on a budget, and I think that we have enough water flow to get the water off the roof and the elements off the roof with just the $1,400.
So that's gutters. You have a proposal for a roof. That's being, you have a number on that one there.
Yes, that's actually from the same company.
Now you're wanting the city to talk pointing or talking on the windows being doors. You would like us to do that. That's
where it's been boarded up actually was identified in the Berlin report that there's water coming in around where the city had boarded up the building. So we just want to seal it up so the water does not get in around the windows.
You're wanting the city to expend that cost.
Yeah, but what I'm told is it's something that can be done in-house.
Yeah, we did put together an estimate after the packet went out. We knew what was in the house. We'd probably have to rent the lift truck. So depending on how much that is, it could be a couple $1,000.
Some of that on the backside of the building is not as easily accessible.
Yeah.
Could those be accessed from the inside?
You probably want to seal it from the outside, but you could all maybe want to get to the backside. So that's not.
I wanted to follow up on one of his questions because I think the answer was just brushed over, and I didn't like the answer.
Okay.
If you have $6,000 in the account,
yes,
and you have $4,500 left in pledges,
yes,
we feel confident that we will raise the other $8,000. To me, it's just not a satisfactory answer. Mm-hmm. They raised $6,000 in 3 months. Mm-hmm. which is you're going to raise $300,000 in 3 years, you should be on pace to raise $25,000 in 3 months. That is the pace you need to maintain for 3 years to raise $300,000.
Yes.
You have $2,500 worth of budget, and I assume all those people, I saw the list, all those people are going to pay you.
Yes.
So you're at $10,500.
Yes.
I'm sure AAA would like to get paid their $18,000.
Yes.
To me, there's still a big gap, and we are confident we're going to raise the money is not a business plan. You go into a bank and say, I am confident I'm going to raise the money, you're not going to get the loan.
I can answer that as well as I can on this. There is a foundation that is watching to see what happens with the city. And if they are in favor of us moving forward, they will be dispersing from their foundation a grant to balance off the rest. And I'm sorry, I cannot reveal those people. They asked to remain anonymous.
Well, I mean, you're asking us to do things, but, well, I'll let
you actually kind of jumped ahead on where I was going with this is, you know, city costs versus the cost that we were projecting on the presentation 18 months ago. There were a lot higher numbers in terms of what the pledge. And I understand that there are some things that have changed over time. Working at 3 months, that was one of the things that had we were comfortable is, you know, initially we had $78,000 in pledge, and now we're down, you know, under 10,000. And so with that, the first year numbers are kind of what concern me. You know, if this is something that is going to move forward, there needs to be something more concrete. Okay. I don't want this building to be more debt.
Okay.
I'm looking to try to find ways to do this without expending city money.
Right.
And that's the catch here, is after 3 months, the monies aren't there being promised, you know, or in fundraising that really gives you a comfort. I'm not prepared to say, let's go ahead and tear it down. But in earnest, I don't see a whole lot that has been done. The original presentation that was put in our packet looked like it was put together a week ago, last minute. So the information I'm seeing tonight is better than that. But I'm concerned, a little frustrated, because my intent here is to see this building preserved in some way without the city dumping a few $100,000 into it. That's really what I want to see. If it's a matter of us getting more time, if it's a matter of the Historic Foundation reaching out to others that have the means to get in touch with those financial resources and get promissory letters, that's one thing. Right now, we're taking the word of the organization that there is money, but it's only a matter of what the city council supports. And then it'll happen.
Would you give money to a project you didn't know was going to happen or not? That's what we're running across.
If I was that committed to the project being able to move forward, I would go. That's what it takes. You have to have people that will take and people back.
In all due respect to you, and I'm not trying to sound combative at all, there has been a lot of bad press on the building. It has changed dramatically. Public opinion has changed. When we first started, most of your people didn't even know there was a jail there. Now it is brought the community together. We're seeing a tremendous response. If you want to see more, certainly. If you are willing to give us more time to show you more, we absolutely can do it. We can do. It's not if we can. I wouldn't stand here in front of you and say, I'm going to make sure that we, all these people that are sitting here supporting us, say we're going to put a jail in Gunners, bring the gentleman in here from the construction company to answer that, and not be able to deliver on that. I am going to deliver on that. We will, not I am, we will deliver on that.
And that's the expectation that you will, and that's what I was hoping. That's why I lobbied to try to have this extension.
May I add to this?
That's why I asked to have 3 months on this extension, which was our term for the bid. But we wanted to have this proposal that had some, you know, solid footings, you know, because this is what it's going to take to make this vote. We have to see good faith, and this is lacking still. The one fortunate thing is from Bart's memo is that deconstruction is willing to extend their proposal potential. You know, that discussion's been open, which leads us to the opportunity where there may be an opportunity to extend this. Now, that's the discussion that we're going to have to get into here
I would like to add that we are not yet on the National Register. And the minute you become on the National Register, you become eligible for a whole new world of grants. And from my experience 20 years ago, I worked on the old courthouse, and I was the president of the committee. And we wrote grants, and we got rejected for a bunch of grants. And then one place gave us a grant, and it was a organization that was well-respected. And the second we got that grant, others said, oh, well, we thought you over, you know, and they gave us money. It's almost like success breeds success in the grant world. If you get one key one giving it to you, the others all fall in line.
And can I ask you a question to follow up with that? How long did it take you to get that first grant from the moment you wrote that first application?
I believe it was 6 or 7 months, yes.
So if this was a 1 year, there's potential that there would be grants within the first year.
And the 26th, the month I hope to have my application into the National Register, I'm working fast and furiously on it. I have going through every single page of the Kendall County Record. I have 18 more years to go. Because that would be the grant I'd love to have, somebody indexing the newspaper. That would be wonderful. Because it's that you have to look at every page. And so I'm actually in that process of getting that into the National Register. And I did it on the last one, so I already have a record of success with the old courthouse.
I actually just read your application today for that. I believe another member had it.
Are there any other questions?
There's some back there.
I just have a question. I just had a comment.
State your name for the record.
Hi,
please.
My name is Connie Lines Cannon. I'm raised here in Yorkville. People keep calling the facility the sheriff residence. It was also the under sheriff residence, which my father was for 8 years, serving under Tom Lesray. I lived in that facility for 8 years. I don't have any one way or another whether I wanted to stay there or not. Whatever's best for Kendall County, that's what I want. But it was a great residence, and if we can save it, I'm all for it. If we can do something for it to serve, I'm for it. But it wasn't just the sheriff's residence. It was also the under-sheriff's residence, which I had the privilege of living in for 8 years.
Thank you. I stand corrected. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. A lot of people didn't know that. Well, face to the left, I call it the smiley face because there was a garage and a light. It looked like a smiley face. We lived there for 8 years. My mom was a dispatcher there. My mom was also, we served the prisoners there. We did a lot of things there that a lot of people don't know, and I don't know why it's never been published. And I have a lot of pictures this man has. So. And I don't know how you guys do this every week. You sit here. Joe, all of you people, oh my God. God bless you all. And thank you for serving. I don't know how you do it. I'm only here one time. I can't wait to get out of here.
I have a lot of issues with it. First of all, if you look at what you're asking for, you're saying, give us the building for 3 years for $3.
Yes.
You pay the insurance. We, you mean us, pays the insurance. We pay the utilities. Okay? The biggest problem I have is they are, in essence, we said we are not going to spend taxpayer money on this building. We made that very clear. They are, in essence, asking us to breach our fiduciary duty to the taxpayers, let them spend money on the building for the next 3 years, and if they don't buy it, we agree to reimburse them for all the money that they spent on the building. Therefore, we are allowing them. You're saying no, Val. That's what your proposal says. It says if they do not buy the building in 3 years, we will reimburse them for their costs.
Wait a minute.
That's what it says.
Well, what we said in our statement is that after 3 years, if you decide not to sell us the building, building and you sell it to a private entity, we would like our historic society paying back for the amount of money that we spent on the building so that we could donate it to another historic property in Yorkville, the one we have chosen as Chapel on the Green. That is what we're asking for.
So you're saying if you guys go belly up in the next 3 years, you will not be seeking any reimbursements from the city?
No, that's what it says.
We are not seeking reimbursement. If the city decides to keep it, hey, this is a great building, we're going to make the mayor's office here. It belongs to our community. Yes. It's a community building. We would like to purchase it, but at the end of the period of time you give us, you decide no, and you want to keep it, then you keep it. The only covenant we're asking for is that you don't tear it down.
The other issue is this building's been sitting there for 9 years.
Yes.
Since we bought it. Now, all of a sudden, everything seems to be done in the 11th hour. A new group springs up, we're going to save it. Once we've already, for all intents and purposes, have made a decision to pretty much knock it down or do something with it. And now, all of a sudden, last minute, we have all these proposals, and we all know how things are done when you do them last minute. This building, to me, has no value. Period. So we either, I had one of two things I said I wanted to do with this building. Sell it immediately to somebody who's willing to put the money in it today to rehab it, because they've had the opportunity to do it for 9 years and nobody's taking us up on the offer to buy the building, or it's coming down. That's it. Those are my two options. This option of giving it over to a group we just formed with, we might get a grant, we might get more donations, we have a donor, but I'm not willing to tell you who it is. That's not how I do business. So I'm either going to sell it to somebody, which nobody has stepped up in the last 9 years, or I'm knocking it down. Those are my two options.
Jackie?
To Carlos' point about the 9 years, that's bad on us. Because we didn't do it for 9 years either. And it wasn't until this summer that we finally did the building study, and it came to light, and it became more evident. We didn't do anything. We're bad on us for sitting here for 9 years and not doing it. Why didn't we tear it down 9 years ago?
Well, over the years, we've sent out some RFPs, haven't we, Bert?
But we have. We've sent out RFPs asking for people to propose purchasing and doing something. And nobody bid.
And how adamant did we pursue it? I've been here for 18 years. I've seen that corner. I've been here this whole time. We have not been adamant. Yeah, we send them out. No, we don't like that one. And we've taken it lightheartedly as far as I'm concerned. Bad on us. There's a group here who wants to save it. My only problem with your group right now is I don't. And I'm going to compare you to push with the apples, which is probably apples and oranges. That was one of my first meetings as a developer. They came in. Nobody wanted that gap. How many of us didn't want that gap? But they had such a, and Lincoln attests, there was such a vision. They wanted that gap. They had such compassion, and they had such a plan, and they came in and they presented it with that, and I'm not getting that plan. Your fundraising. They had it. This is what we're going to do. We're going to raise this. We have this. They never brought up grants, and it's all wonderful. I've also stayed there a long time to see. There's a lot of grants we never get. What's our percentage of getting grants? But that's what I wanted to see you guys come to see, a very good, hey, this is what we're going to do. We are going to aggressively, this is how we're going to go ahead and raise funds. It's great. You're doing great fundraisers, but as Chris said, hasn't been enough for in the last 3 months. And there is no plan. Even if you had a plan similar to that, it would just make me feel more warm and fuzzy to this. And I want the building to say. But I'm playing devil's advocate. I see both sides of it. I just wanted to see more of an aggressive fundraising plan.
Can I respond to that? I would just like to say that I remember the Push for the Path, too, and I actually raised money for Push for the Path. And it included a lot of fundraising. It included people going out and committing to raising like $1,000. It included events at the golf course. And you have to realize also that this was circling around a very tragic event where somebody lost their life. And that being said, there were relatives of this woman who were willing to come forth and support this kind of fundraiser. this is not such an emotional issue. We have a lot of people who are excited about it, but they're not connected to it emotionally like that was the case. And it took them years to raise the money for the path. I mean, how many years
were in this?
5 years before they actually came up with the money to match the grant. And the city gave them that time, and they were very kind to do so. And I think that was a wonderful thing for the city to do, but you had to do it out of faith. Because they came in and they had a plan, but they were also depending on people coming forward with money and people going out there having, you know, soliciting funds. And I put in the business plan that we presented to you today. One of those things is that we're going to try to do the similar thing, because when we went out and sold spots on the Monopoly board, I couldn't believe we did it, what, in a week and a half. And after, you know, we had 2 weeks to develop the whole thing. I had people calling me wanting spots, and we had already sold out. We only had 26 spots. I was just amazed. They got all excited about that. If you could have seen that kind of passion, I think you would have been into it more. But there is that kind of passion there. This is just a kind of project that relies on grants, because it's for a building, a historic building. And donors are kind of iffy, because they hear the city is debating tearing it down. So they're not sure, you know, if they're going to get the money. I mean, let's be honest, if I were wealthy, I wouldn't give money right now until I know that, you know, if I gave it to the foundation, that it's not going to sit in the foundation and you guys tear down the building I want to save. So I think if you gave us, you know, say you gave us at least a year. You gave us a year. I mean, you let it sit there for, what,
9?
Yeah. Robin, one of the things I put in the plan is that Robin used to do the Halloween events, and that was such a fun thing for the whole community. We charged $4 admission. She made $6,000 one season. She's now proposing doing that and charging $10 a person. And we think we can raise $10,000 on one holiday season. And if you go ahead with this, we're going to join the Chamber of Commerce. We're going to get involved with them. We're going to be part of this boom. We're going to have stories in front of, you know. It's going to be a community thing. And I think we need that. We need to come together a little bit, because it's fun to have those kind of events. It's just part of our community. And I think that's a treasure. I'm sorry I'm going on with this, but I have the passion. So
it is for
what you to know is. That is there.
I was hoping for that spark, that idea that was Ann had. I believe it was her power of one.
We did $100,000 immediately.
Yes.
We had like 3 months and we raised
$100,000. Like I said, now, you know, it's apples and oranges. You know, you're looking at a young community, you want your kids to have a thing. Yeah, it was around the tragic event, it was a memory of somebody. So it is apples and oranges, but it was that somebody had that idea of that fundraising spark. Something grand, and that was grand. We did it in school. Everybody was doing it. You know, that was easy to do, to raise $1,000. So, you know, I guess that's what I was looking for today, that be more there. Now, you're talking about Halloween. Is it Halloween right around the corner? You're talking about this Halloween?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, Carla had something, and then I'm going
to
talk.
But I mean, doesn't that argument go against what we're trying to say here? The push for the path was emotionally charged, well organized, and it took them 5 years to raise $357,000. You admit that this venture is not as emotionally charged as push for the path, and you're saying you're going to outpace push for the path in your fundraising. You're saying you're going to raise $300,000 in 3 years when it took Push for the Path with a very good cause, which I voted against, $357,000, 5 years. So that's illogical. It doesn't help the argument that they're going to raise the money. To me, there's just no organized vision or plan for this building. There's nobody saying, I'm the one stepping up, I'm the one with the money, I'm the one who's going to occupy this.
Okay. Todd had his hand up. Todd, you have something?
Yeah, I was going to say that we don't need to push through the path. We usually do. I just sat right next to Darlene Q on Sunday watching her son wrestle with mine. And we wrote a check and we did it twice. But I also would remind you that I watched Lynn come to the county board too, and if I remember right, they gave her $50,000. Was that what it was? That was basically to finish it up because they were that close. So it wasn't totally funded with private donations. The county did kick in $50,000. And in a short period of time, I have a very small group. I've watched them. They're very motivated. And I think they should be given the opportunity to succeed. They will if given the opportunity.
Chris?
Two things. Just throwing your hands. First of all, the funding mechanisms that are there for historic preservation are much greater than what the opportunities are for things like a push for the cap. That was a state grant, and then the county has the grant, but everything else was privately funded. To date, all that's been done with the organization is private funding for very small contributions, a donation can at a restaurant for a night, those kind of things. But those pools of money get very, very large from the federal government, from the state government, and from those other historical entities that are privately funded. There is a wealth of opportunity there. So I don't want to say that we're apples and oranges, you know, push for the path in this one. You know, it is and it isn't. You know, that one had a lot of people that had heart behind it. This one has a lot of people who want to save, you know, history. And there's a lot of money for that. It's not the same type of passion, but people do have the passion for historic preservation, and there's a lot of money there. It just has to be taxed. That's the one thing. The second is, for the proposal items, Carl nailed it. We don't want to spend city money. If you're going to do it, you pay the insurance, you pay the utilities, you talk to windows and doors, you're already talking about the roof and the gutters. That's left. The city's already going to deal with the lead and asbestos, whether we tear the building down or keep it. That's something we have to deal with as it is. But if you want to operate it, just like any other lease of a building that the city has, if we're going to subsidize, you're going to pay for the utilities and the other elements that are within that building. That's the way it should be. You know, whether a $1 a year lease is fair, but if you're paying the others, I mean, we're not making any revenue on it now. I mean, that building doesn't do anything for us. But there's going to be a cost. It can't be to us. Carl is absolutely right.
Can I bring up another, and I don't want to do that, but you have another building that you are leasing to someone that's here present, and you do pay the insurance on that building, and you are having a leasing agreement with her.
Well, so we pay it right now on this building. Is substantially less than what it would be if, after it starts into construction, if I'm correct, and into renovation. That number goes up.
Do you have a number on that? I mean, we can renegotiate as it goes up and take on the amount that it goes up, and we would be willing to do that, but right now, all the money that we are gathering, we want to put into saving that building from any further destruction. It's strong now, but it's not going to stay strong for long with the water coming through the roof in several areas. We need to stop that from happening. The amount of blocking of the windows and so forth that we're talking about is really pretty minor.
But if we're talking, you know, I think for our rental today, we pay $300, give or take, annually insurance on it. If it goes up.
Well, pay the difference.
That's basically what I'm saying, is if there's a difference in cost, it should not be borne by the city.
Okay, so if there's a difference, we'll pay it. Is that agreeable to you?
Well,
okay.
I'm only one voice here.
Okay. Yeah.
Bart, you have something? Yeah. Someone from the side got to say something.
Just a point of a clarification on lead versus the asbestos cost. And it was in one of the emails for follow-up today. So when we bid out the demolition, the only environmental remediation that we have to perform under state law is the asbestos abatement. So we basically don't have to touch fled to demolish the building. So if you end up renovating the building, the cost of lead and asbestos removal ends up being around $45,000. It's the cheapest quote that we can find just from calling around. So within the demo bid, the lead alone was $27,000. So that gap is $28,000. $18,000. If we were to save them, save them.
Thanks for the clarification.
Joe?
It's funny that Alderman Funkhauser mentions a gutted proposal, because I actually have one written up. I think it's a better starting point than their proposal. It's a 1 year, and I will pass it around. A year lease for only $1 with the option to renew with the lease at the end of the year with the roof repairs and tuck pointing and those miscellaneous carpentry are done. The city will agree to remove the lead and the asbestos. I did not know anything about the lead. Then the building maintain insurance on the building next year, remove documents and debris unless otherwise requested by the society. This is a much better starting point than the other one, if we were to go that way. We have copies for everybody. They have not seen this. I don't know if they would agree to it. But I think it'd be a much better fill for everybody as well.
So who generated this document? You?
Myself. I was trying to get all the stuff last night. I worked with those. My wife's.
Alright, so we're going round and round here.
Can I have a question?
Yes.
I have a question. What happened to the money that we raised back in 2010-2011? It was supposed to go towards the improvement of the jail. I just wonder what happened to that money.
It is still on the books. $4,000.
Still we have that?
Yeah, the only thing that we have subtracted from it has been the annual insurance costs.
So with that money, since that was raised by, it was all different then. What do you consider that money, like, to go towards the jail, since that what it was raised for?
As far as I know, there's not a legal restriction on the use of the funds. Practically, we have restricted it for use of jail-related funds.
New information here. Could I ask that you have it draw the vote for demolition so that we can review this information with the alderman that created it and the city staff?
I don't agree. Surprise, surprise. I mean, thank God I wasn't here at the meeting 3 months ago when we gave this extension. I missed one meeting in a year. 3 months extension. I swear to God. All right? We've given them 3 months. We have nothing.
Correct.
I would make a motion to approve the resolution authorizing a contract of deconstruction for building demolition and site restoration for the project of 111 West Madison Street, authorizing the city and mayor to execute.
Second.
Comments or questions on the motion?
Take a motion today for 2 weeks, please.
Is there a second?
Second.
So we'll take a roll call vote on the motion to table.
Colosimo?
Nay.
Bilshewski?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chiroulis?
Aye.
Koch?
Nay.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Nay.
Peterson?
Aye.
So, motion table passes, right?
Correct.
Then the motion was for 2 weeks, you said?
Yes.
Okay. So, that will come back in 2 weeks. I think if the jailhouse group wants to do another, come back in 2 weeks, meet with staff in the meantime, talk about details of this other lease term here, get some more information, We'll pick it up again in 2 weeks. Right? Is there anything else anyone wants to talk about in the old jail?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm hiding behind these over here. Just if you guys want to do some Googling when you get home. In November of 2016, we started the RFP for the building condition survey. In January of 2017, we paid for it. So if you go into the Yorkville website, type in EMG, type in 111 Madison, there's a good 20 pages, which I'm sure you've based some of your assumptions and kind of estimates off of. A lot of the comments that I've received about this, threefold. One, what are you going to do there? The idea of an incubator space, I think those things are awesome, but I don't find that to be a legitimate use for a building kind of off of 47. The idea of an art gallery, I work with people who own properties that are vacant yet still occupiable, and they use gallery space as a way to show off their properties when they're about to either sell it or potentially develop it. It's not a money-making venture in my experience. Normally, the artist ends up taking a lot of, expends a lot of energy hauling all their art over there, preparing it in a way where it looks somewhat cool. If any of you guys have been to the law office, we were using that as a meeting place to plan summer solstice for the summer before we actually got anything on the walls. It looked like a murder scene for about a year and a half before we did anything. Which actually, because we're awesome rock stars, that's what was conducive to, hey, we're doing something with this property. The difference between that and this is, number one, that generated money almost instantly. Number two, and this is what I'm a stickler on, it was a private venture. So I said from the beginning, I went back and listened to my whining, because I was a little embarrassed by how I sounded back in July. But I'm still on the two things, sell it or tear it down. But whatever you're going to do, do it now. So the idea that this just kind of crept up is completely wrong. We started talking about it. How are we going to go through the list of all these properties? And I encourage all of you, if you're having trouble sleeping, go through every property the city of Yorkville owns and read the studies. And then remember the names of the acronyms that compare repair costs to replacement. It will drive you batty. So all of those topics were discussed in admin, and I think public safety talked about them, public works talked about them. The status of every property in Yorkville will open up your eyes to the fact that there are things that actually produce services for residents that need repairs. Take public works, for instance. No, please, take public works. The place is falling down. So if we are going to divert our attention away from fixing that lean-to, or whatever we want to call it, and putting them into extending your potential, I think we're wasting other people's money. I'm one of those people. I am really, really happy that people have an interest in doing something with the property, but I need you to buy it, or we're going to tear it down. And that's been the topic the entire time. So the fact that that has been on the docket since November of 2016, and nobody cared, and we had a conversation with Tollefson, when he had all of his stuff on that west side of the block, all the stuff that he was going to do. Just because we weren't super adamant about it, I'll be honest, I'm not adamant about some things that involve city business because it's city business. Like, I'm not going to go out there and publicly toot the horn. We paid Lynn a lot of money to do that. She's tooting horns. I'm not going to take away your tooting capability. But from my perspective, public works, public safety, plows, police officers, private, art galleries, co-working space, bars, music festivals, all that stuff is private. So I wish you luck privately. Publicly, let's keep plowing streets and protecting the citizens of Yorkville with an awesome police force. So that's where I am.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
To tag along with what Joel just said, in our last public safety meeting last week, we discussed, you know, we're looking at 3 to 4 new officers next year. Next door, they're crammed in like sardines already without the 3 or 4 new officers. And now we got to legitimately and seriously start discussing the old bank building, retrofitting that as a police department, and how much that would cost, retrofitting that as a city hall, and retrofitting this building as a police department, how much that would cost, or building a police department, which you know is going to be
$10 million, right? Yep. If you're conservative. We're not going to build a suite home, but it's still going to cost you a lot of money. That's why I'm so adamant on taxpayer money has to stay within the limited purpose. And that's why I'm so adamant at this point with what Joel said. Somebody needs to take this building off our hands. I will sell it to you. I have no issue with that. But I am
not. How much?
What's the price tag?
I don't know. We have to have it appraised, and whatever the law requires us to sell it for, 80% of appraised value or whatever. Whatever the law says. Whatever the law says, I will sell you the building. Otherwise, it's coming down. That's my position.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
My name is Thomas Moshewski. I'm going
to the building. You want to write a check for the building?
Awesome.
I listened to this meeting. My name is Thomas Moshewski. I live in Ward 2. I listened to this meeting. I took the topics that they gave you, and I listened to all of your opinions. I joined this project, 7-8 months ago, and my mother and I have talked about this for years. It really breaks my heart that I had to leave this project and not present to you today, because I feel that this building is very, what they said, it's worth saving. But I agree with Carlo and I agree with Joel. This is nothing new, like what 17 months ago. And it's sad because it's a disappointment from what I've been done. And I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate the 2 weeks that you're giving this group. I don't know what else will come up from it. I don't see anything being new from this group in 2 weeks. But I don't know, something might happen in 2 weeks, and I appreciate you taking the vote 2 more weeks. But I did listen to all your opinions and Carlo about it's just going to sit there. But, you know, I listened to Chris and Mom and Gary and saying, well, this is set for 9 years. And why tear it down now? So I understand your frustration. I understand their frustration. I understand my frustration. But I just want to say I appreciate your vote, table it. But I don't see this being in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Chris?
I have two things I wanted to make in closing comments. For the past few years, I have pushed for us to put together a study that figures out what our building needs are and how to find them. That's been huge on my priority list for the past few years, and I know it's creeping up. So that's something that's always been there. We've got to deal with our buildings that are definitely going downhill. But the second part is, this council, 7 months ago, actually shot down the idea of going out for an RFP to find out what people wanted to do with the building. We had 2 options. We had an option to talk about going for RFP for demolition, and also, at the same time, an RFP for preservation or for use of the site. This council shot it down that night. So when you're talking about what do we want to do with the solid building, we shot that down here.
Do you not read the emails that come from BART, the 9 administrator weekly emails, say there was an interested party, Lynn is fully aware of what the building is in current shape, going out for an official RFP again on a building that the people who were in contact with us said there's no use for the property of that size and the way it sits.
So it's all my careers. that email was last week. This is 3 months ago. So that's all I have to say.
I apologize to Alderman Peterson because I told him this is a fun job. You'll enjoy it. We all get along.
To tear down the building. I want to put on record, I'm really not happy with the quote that we have. Johannes brought it up. There's a lot of people that would like to salvage things out of that building. the brick is salvageable, the limestone is salvageable. And we just needed reconstruction. We didn't go out for a bid. I thought we had talked about if it was going to come down to get a bid that they would salvage it, that isn't going to go in a landfill. Because there's people that would buy that brick in the city and use it. I'm just putting it out there. This is what it comes down to in 2 weeks or whenever. I think that old building, there's stuff in there people would go
for. Have you just, we talked about the gutters. Have you looked at that gutter system? Do you have the detail of that? The beauty of that?
The cells inside. I mean, there's people out there that look for that stuff. And I would like to see if that's what it's going to come down to, that it's not just, I'm sorry, you can tell us what's not like. They're just going to go into the windows and take it down. Because we know how they did 47, we know how that'll work. They're not going to salvage that to our benefit. I would like to see something, if that's possible. If there are people out there that want to take that. Hey, I had an old barn, and when I took my barn down, I just put it out for anybody want firewood. My whole barn was gone. I had someone take down the whole stuff. There are people that want that stuff. So, you can't save it in that. Maybe you can save it in some other form, some other application.
I know. Go on a Saturday to salvage one in Chicago and see just the amount of people that are there. It is crazy. Yeah.
Robin, do you have something else?
Yeah, I just had something to add that I didn't really get up to speak. It didn't seem to flow very well, but there is something that I've done, something I see that jail would be perfect for, and that's for filming movies and videos and things. And I've actually put, I have 5 sites right now for the state of Illinois, and companies, they call them location scouts, and I put this, even though it isn't ours, which this is very difficult, the whole thing is difficult, because this building is not ours. We're looking for angel donors, the building is not ours. It's very confusing to people. But anyway, I have listed on 4 different location scout websites, and as well with the state of Illinois and city of Chicago, and the average daily rent is $1,000 to $10,000 a day. So that would add up very quickly if we got a film or something, because that place is creepy. And I sent the pictures in to all of them, so it's creepy.
And the jail is so intact, and it is the first jail ever to use a locking system that put the key in once and it locked all of it. It changed the whole correction system. It was a huge invention, and we had the first one, and in fact, we have it intact. That's when I was going to get the courthouse on the National Register, when I went in for the presentation on that, I was actually accosted about 3 minutes before I walked up there by people from Clay County that said, you have a jail just like ours, and yours has everything in it, and we'd like to take it apart. And I was like, okay. And I just thought it was the oddest thing to get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. But it is, the more I found out about this, the more of a revolutionary system that is. And there's actually a community of people who really love old jails. It's like the crazy railroad people. They spend their vacation time and their vacation money going to old jails. And we can promote ourselves with that group, and I think we could make a lot of money that way. And historic preservation is, it's not Disney that's the number one tourist thing in America. It is historic preservation is the number one where the dollars are spent. And you look at, the more towns promote their older buildings, the more money they bring in, the more revenue they bring in. I think we're getting to the point where we're tired of bulldozing our history in America. We'd love to keep it.
Okay, well, we'll pick it up again in 2 weeks. And Chris, or someone, would someone make a motion to table the budget amendment as well?
Motion to table the budget amendment.
Roll call, please.
Milshewski.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Trulis.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Nay.
Peterson.
Aye.
Closimo.
Nay.
Motion carries.
Okay, we have no other committee reports, nothing from Park Board or PZC, no City Council reports, City Clerk's report.
No report, Your Honor.
And community and liaison reports.
Ooh, 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 ooh. While you're all here, this Saturday on the Yorkville Riverfront, we've got your Oktoberfest. In addition to that, there is the egg hunt, which is...
Well, we have also our Oktoberfest starts at noon on Saturdays from noon to 10, Saturday, October 13th, noon to 5. After the riverfront is all the free family activities like the haystack hunt, decorating your pumpkin. And at 4 o'clock will be the conversation with the council. 4:45, 5 o'clock is the Knights of Columbus pumpkin pull. Tickets are still available. You can purchase them at City Hall, online, or the Parks and Rec office, or buy the day of. We are actually doing a celebration for the Illinois Bicentennial. We're doing a ribbon cutting ceremony at 5:30 for what was the historical boundary, what was supposed to be the original boundary for Illinois. That'll be at the Van Emmon Center. And then at 7 p.m., the only thing not at Riverfront is Holiday Hunt up at Town Square. Music starts around 3 o'clock, craft beers, food trucks, from the food at that.
We also have a Stein holding contest, which will be a little interesting because in Germany they're 3.5 pounds and 32 ounces. Here, because of liquor laws, thank you, Chief Hart, they have to be 16 ounces and made out of plastic. So if you have 45 minutes, that'll just be the first round. So I'm going to attempt to make it a little bit more difficult. You'll have to come out and see. So this Saturday, your Oktoberfest, please come.
All right. Any other community and liaison reports? Jackie.
They attended the library board yesterday. They got their ice cream social. It was so successful. They ran out of ice cream. They had it donated by Metal Mail, and they had voted dual Michael ice cream. So it was very well attended. They had some people that had never even been to the library shop, and they're going to make it an annual event. And they passed their tax law.
Wonderful. Joe?
Also, the National Taekwondo Charity Foundation, TKC, here in New York, I asked me to mention this. Also on Saturday from 10 to 2, before you go to the Oktoberfest, if you would like to give blood, they're over by Tuffy's. You
can they have a bunch of beer.
Yeah. Work out well for everybody. You can contact the Heartland Blood Centers at 1-800-72-GIVE, or you can call Taekwondo Korea Center themselves at 630-708-3132.
That's how we'll change up the Stein holding contest.
There you have
to enter, you have to get blood. While you're holding the Stein. These things just right.
Oh, boy. Any other community or liaison reports? Any staff reports?
Florida Division Blizzards are having their chili, Red Paw chili sauce.
Oh, Red Paw chili.
In the afternoon.
Red Paw chili.
So are you going to bring Vinny your bowl of chili this time, Dan?
What, you all have something up?
Maybe. I got to talk to my wife. She makes the chili.
There's about 6 spots left.
And I'll bring it up to her. Any staff reports?
Just one item here. I don't know if there's a room.
Yes, another item that we have coming up for Veterans Day. We are working with the Yorkville American Legion and the Veterans Outreach for Hanover County. We invite you to honor our nation and all the veterans who have served with the 2018 Yorkville flags, the ballot, as American flags, which is displayed at Town Square during the week of Veterans Day. The flag can be sponsored for $30 and will include a keepsake ribbon and a personalized tag to honor a veteran. Flags will be displayed at Town Square starting Monday, November 5th through Monday, November 12th. For more information,
just
go to the city website.
Thank you, Tim. Any additional business? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for litigation.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Trulis.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Klosimo. Milshewski. Motion carries.